Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Small and Microcap News on Tuesday, the 18th of November, 2025. Sorry, I didn't do a podcast yesterday. Felt a bit jaded and the markets didn't help either. So I had a weekend in, well, not a weekend, but a Saturday, a long day Saturday. In Cheltenham, and I've been going there for many, many years, meeting some friends from Wales there, and we travel up, well, they travel from Wales, and two of us travel from England there, and the trains are dreadful, absolutely dreadful. It took them from Wales an hour, took me 3.5 hours on the way up, about 4 hours plus on the way back, Cheltenham sort of Southampton area. It's insane, just delays. Oh, it's driving me insane. I was tired, been drunk too much, standing around in Reading Station for seemed like days. And then I watched the boxing when I came home. So I had a bit of a late night Saturday. And then yesterday, I didn't feel inspired at all to talk about the markets. Just, a bit depressing, isn't it? But it's a correction. It's healthy. It's America. It's a fallout from America, essentially. There is this worry about, the AI bubble, and, we mentioned it for a long time, sucking a lot of capital into that market. And if you just look at the valuations there of the S&P 500, historically, when we get to this level on the S&P 500, then the next 5 years show, underwhelming returns, if any returns at all. So either the S&P 500 goes sideways for 5 years or has to sell off. And I think, I don't know whether it's going to be now or, in a few months' time, or maybe half a year time, but it needs to come down. It needs to come down to, ensure future returns are good. But so if it drops by like 20, 30%, then that's a healthy thing for the markets, even though it's not healthy for the portfolio in the short term. Longer term, it'll be okay. So it's short-term pain. And like I said, all you can do is keep an eye on stocks and their fundamentals. That's all you can do, really, because there's, huge amounts of evidence that show if you tend to sell on big down days, then you normally have a bounce sooner or later that'll remove some of the losses you've made. And you miss those big gain days, and overall, you'll miss out on a decent return over the longer term. So, the thing is, when you get market wobbles like this, when there's no discernible reason. I mean, when you had the Trump tariff, of course, that one big thing that came out in February to April, where it fell off a cliff and then rebounded when they rolled back on some of the tariffs, then you point your finger that that was the reason. You tend to have a V-shaped recovery happening. But this seems to be a lot more valuation based. There's also worry about American job market. And whether, it's deteriorating. It looks like it is, even though the numbers from, the agencies haven't come out because of the shutdown. You've got to be, of course, it's linked to AI as well. Of course, there's many people saying that, who was the guy who came out today? Google boss, Sundar Pichai said, the $1 trillion AI investment boom has elements of irrationality about it. And it does. You see this when any sort of, revolution in the markets happens, or evolution, and you have these booms in investment. It tends not to be good for longer term return on that indices. If you look back at the dot-com bubble and just sort of cloud then as well, and you know, these massive inflows that push stocks up over the top to the point where they are overvalued, it tends to, well, do you know what? It's a good podcast out today, actually. I listen, walking the dog. And I was listening to Merrin Talks Money, and they had on a guy on there. What was his name? But he was looking at basically over 200 years from Deutsche Bank. He was from, I can't think of the guy's name, but it's not rocket science, but it's saying basically, you know, if you invest in a low PE stocks or indices, then your return is far superior over the longer term than if you invest in, you know, high PE indices. And at the moment, America's a high PE index. So of course, it makes sense, isn't it? The more that the share price goes up, the more it's priced in. And so there's less potential there on offer. And the lower the price they are, the less potential is priced in. So, but trouble is, we are humans and we get emotional when the markets rise. We chase the rises. And that's the thing. We tend to, you know, people don't worry too much when the market's rising about valuations. They only tend to worry when it starts to sell off. They go, oh, it's valued too highly. And there's the added problem in America of market participation is huge in America. It's over 60%. And there's a lot of margin, you know, people investing on margin. And so that accelerates any sell-off when it happens. So we may need a correction. I don't know when it's going to come, but judging on historical figures, you know, historical evaluation metrics, then we do need a sort of correction or sell-off. And that's why it's called a correction, because we've gone to the point where it's overvalued and we need to correct. I'd be surprised if it keeps dragging down the rest of the indices, though, because, you know, already UK markets aren't that expensive. It's so annoying, though, when it does drag down UK markets, you know. So you think, well, might as well just stick in the American markets if that's what if that's the moon that moves all tides, you know. Anyway, let's have a bit of macro news. UK, it's a bit of positive news here, I think. UK to give a default yes to new homes around railway stations. Britain said planning applications for new homes near railway stations would receive a default yes in future if they meet certain rules as it steps up efforts to encourage house building by reducing obstacles. The government wants to build 1.5 million homes yeah, good one. Before the next election, due in 2029, but figures from the ONS, or sorry, the OBR, Office for Budget Responsibility, earlier this year forecast it will fall short. Really? Under proposals announced today, councils will also be required to alert the housing minister. This is good, actually, because I was watching that documentary on Panorama a while back about house building, and I didn't realise it was as complex, the planning system, as it is. It's not just one yes or no. You have to go through multiple sort of committees, essentially. Anyway, this is quite good, I think. Under proposals announced today, councils will also be required to alert the housing minister if they intend to reject a new housing development of 150 homes or more, and the minister will have the final say on whether it goes ahead. So there we are. If you are a developer, make sure you're, you know, developing more than 150 homes, and it may go ahead. The changes will be proposed in a new national planning policy framework, which will be consulted on later this year, the government said. Later this year, just do it now. Do it now. And here's a negative bit of... Well, I've read two articles on the same subject. One on Reuters, which I find it hard to work out because it's a net cumulative immigration, net emigration, net migration. Of what the heck is going on? This is from City AM. Of course, it's got a, you know, a right-wing slant, well, a Tory slant, I suppose, but an anti-Labour slant. But Brain Drain latest. This is the latest on Brain Drain, if you want to keep up on that topic. But it says Brits quit in the UK three times faster than thought. Fears that the UK is in the grips of a brain drain. Brain drain. My brain can't deal with that. Grips of a brain drain escalated at a fresh data revealed that more than three times as many British nationals left the UK last year than officials previously thought. According to revisions made by the ONS, 257,000 Britons left the UK in 2024, over 250% more than the earlier estimate of 77,000. It may be the case. It could be the case. What I think is unbelievable is that Labour said, well, it has to be a fair tax system. Well, if it's a fair tax system, then people, you know, higher earners, higher income earners, shouldn't be taxed as highly as they are. Because 10% of the highest earners pay 60% of the tax. And that is not conducive to wealth creation. I mean, and I find it odd that, you know, lefties, socialists, always say, yeah, tax the rich, tax the rich. If you really want to get your, you know, your meat out of these guys and girls who are mega wealthy, you bring them to your country. Because then more money will be created. If you really want to equal the playing field or help, you know, invest into your country, you encourage the rich to come here. You don't discourage them. You don't scare them away. It just makes you a poorer country. That doesn't make any equal. It just raises poverty. Doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Anyway, let's see. The thing I worry about there is the ONS has changed the reporting or data they're using. So now they're using the use of public services, I think, rather than flights and people leaving the country. So, it's a different system. You can't. I question the accuracy of the figures, that's all. Okay, let's look at the markets. I don't think anything's up. Let's have a look. FTSE 100 down 1.37% to 9542. The Stoxx 600 in Europe down 1.76% to 561. The S&P 500 down 0.6% to 6631. The FTSE Small Cap down 1.5% to 7185. The Russell 2000. Oh, hang on. The Russell 2000 is up 0.13% to 2344. FTSE 250 down 1.3%, 21,406. The NASDAQ down just shy of 1%, 22,490. What else there? The FTSE All World Index down 1.11% to 643. And the AMOL share down 1.43% to 733. Well below that sort of support level we need at 777. Commodities, Brent crude up 0.16%. to $64.04 a barrel. We've got gold. That's down 0.25% to 4,064. Looks like it's going into a range now. The high of the range is 4,200. Low is about 3,950, pretty much. Copper, down 0.5% to 4.98. That's per pounds per dollar. Dollars per pound. Yeah. So gold is 4,062. Dollars an ounce, and copper is 4.98 dollars a pound. Anything else there? Let's look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin's had a bit of a hammering, isn't it? It has bounced the last in this session though. It's bounced up 1.26%, but it's at 93,276. I've been reading. Is it Peter Schiff and Michael Saylor's? Well, it's not an argument. Peter Schiff is saying Strategy, which is the first Bitcoin treasury company, the king of Bitcoin treasury companies, and literally raising money left, right, and center, issuing money, issuing stock, issuing debt just to buy Bitcoin. It bought more. And I think now, since its inception, it's only up about 28%. So he's averaged up massively. And I think his average is about 74,400, something like that, Bitcoin. It goes to that level, they're in trouble. And that's a big company holding a lot of Bitcoin. I think it's the third biggest holder of Bitcoin. I think it was like, is it third? Yeah, I think Satoshi Sakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin, I don't know who that is, I don't know if it's a myth or whatever, holds 1.2 billion, and Strategy hold about half of that, 600,000 Bitcoin. But yeah, you start getting to levels where you're at parity of what you bought it for, then what's the point? You've got to pay interest as well and debt. You're not going to make any money, are you? I don't know about Bitcoin. I think it's a lot of hype, of course, but it's never been cracked, is it, security-wise? So it's quite a safe sort of idea. Anyway, just volatile. You know, it's the same old thing, is it? Has it got value? The value is only as high as what people are prepared to buy for it and sell for it, of course. You know, so it could be a big bubble, who knows? But it's a network effect, isn't it? The more people have it, the more it's worth. It's like the phone system. You know, the more people have phones, the more expensive, the more high the valuation that the system, the telecom system, or the network it is, you know, to a telecoms company. It's like anything, it's subscribers. To Netflix, for example, the more you have, the more valuable that company is. The more that hold Bitcoin, the more valuable it is, pretty much. And if you've got a hard supply of, what, 21 million? I think now 95% of that 21 million has now been mined, apparently. That's Bitcoin, then. Dollar index, always worth looking at that. It's up a little bit last 3 days. It's up to 99.6. And of course, that affects everything else. But, and in fact, the pound against dollar, the pound is weakening a little bit against the dollar, so it's down a little bit to 1.31. So £1 will buy you $1.31, buy you €1.13. Government bonds, they aren't really moving. 0.5% for 30-year, it's up to 5.3. 10-year is up to 4.5, that's up to 31%. And the 2-year is down a little bit to 3.8% yield. That's how much the government, you know, pays for its 2-year government bonds, loans out. Anyway, that's that. Let's go to sharepickers.com, the microcap database. Let's have a quick look there. The companies. Let's have a look at Calnex. I don't believe that's worth looking at. Interim results, Calnex. They design, produces, and markets tests and measurement instrumentation and solutions for the telecommunications and cloud computing industries. So it's 57 pence a share, market cap 49 million, they've got a decent amount of cash, 10.9, no debt. So it's their half-year results. So they're reliant on that area of the market. So these are H1 2026 results. Revenue up 9% to 8 million, made a net loss of 704K, just down a bit from 990K. Net cash 10.3, up 20%. Free cash flow 78K, business outflow 2.6. So the company states confident in continued growth in H2 to close the year in line with market expectations. So market expectations are for 10% top line growth of 20.3 million and net profit of 600K. And that's all the forecasts you have. That's a PE of 83. So double digit, you know, top line and bottom line growth, but a small profit. And so valuation is not compelling there. So CLX, not for me. I mean, they've got a bit of, you know, sector headwinds there. CML Microsystems, they haven't got any forecasts. I'm sure the brokers come out with forecasts for after the half-year results, but they haven't again. But anyway, the 2.8 is share, that 46 million market cap, enterprise value 36. They've got a 9.9, more than that, or 10.6 million of cash, no debt. So they develop mixed signal RF and microwave semiconductors for the global communications market. The group utilizes a combination of outsourced manufacturing and in-house testing with trading operations in the UK, US, and Asia. So interim results today. So here we go, H1 2026. Revenue up, down 27% to 9.2 million. Net profit up 164% to 1.8. Part of that was due to a sale of land, excess land they didn't need. Net cash down 29%, 2.7 million. Free cash flow of 2.3 million versus outflow of 123. There's no forecast there. But, you know, they're in that area with it. Land a big contract, it could change. But they've got a healthy balance sheet and they're in a sort of area of growth. It could come up with a big contract and it could shoot up. But as yet, there's no forecast. What else is there? Gear for Music. Been an excellent riser recently, of late. There's an online retailer of musical instruments and music equipment operating 21 websites in 15 languages and 9 currencies. Largest retailer of musical instruments and music equipment in the UK. So at 320 a share, their market cap of 67 million, enterprise value of 73. And in fact, that's increased a bit, that enterprise value, because debt has gone up. Let's have a look at the results then. Revenue up 31% to 80.7 million. Net profit of 2 million versus a loss of 1.24 million last year. Net debt is up 10% to 16 million. Free cash outflow of 8 million versus 5.6. That's because I think they've increased their stock inventories and all that stuff. So they've had four ahead of expectations trading updates this year, and they've, including today, they've upgraded again. So for 26, they're looking at 16% top line growth to 170 million. Net profit up 525% to 5.2 million, puts them on a PE of 13. But going forward, it's less impressive. 2027, this could change, of course, 11% top line growth, and then net profit dropping to 3.2 million, which would put them on a PE of 21, EV earnings of 23. And then for 2028, 6% top line growth, and 19% net profit growth, 3.8 million, puts them on a PE of 18, EV earnings 19. So I think the good year is 26. It's now normalising for 27, 28. And then, of course, valuation becomes less compelling. So I think the big rise has happened. It's gone from literally a quid back in April up to 324. So it's had an excellent rise. Of course, came out of a sort of perfect storm with after COVID. You went to COVID, where everyone was trying to learn to play guitars, drums, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, people realized they didn't want to use them anymore. So they stocked up for COVID. And of course, then sales dried up and went through a correction period. And then it's come out of that sort of cycle now. And but I think now it's at a fair level where we are right now. In fact, you know, if you look at next year's sales and profit, it shouldn't be going any higher, really, because the valuation and growth is coming down and valuation is less compelling. But well done if you're in that. You did well at that. That was a good little run that gave music. Trifast, TRI, is a leading international specialist in the design, engineering, manufacturing and distribution of high-quality industrial fastenings and Category C components to major global assembly industries. At 73 pence a share, they're a market cap of 98 million, enterprise value of 115. In fact, yeah, 115 million. Yeah, so they've got a bit of debt. Cash of, what do they have? Cash. Well, net debt of about 17.4 million. Let's look at the results here. So revenue down 7% to 105.8 million. Net profit up 9% to 1.5 million. Net debt 17.4 million versus 15.4. Free cash flow of 4.5 million, which is down 52%. This is all about a margin story. They're doing, you know, operational efficiencies, and so margins improving. And they say, looking ahead, we remain confident in delivering our medium-term targets, including achieving an underlying operating margin of greater than 10%. This confidence is underpinned by the substantial groundwork already completed to make Trifast a more efficient, professional and data-led organisation. So for 2026, top line again is coming down by 4%. So this is all, you know, based off efficiencies, improving margins. But net profit is expected to jump by 631% to 7.6 million. Puts them on a PE of 13, EV earnings of 15. For 27, back to top line growth, only sort of low mid-single digit release of 222 million, up 4%. But net profit expected to, again, pop again to 11.4 million, up 50%. That puts them on a PE of 9, EV earnings of 10. So I think, you know, it's worth a watch. If you keep a track on those figures, and they're going to hit them, I think Trifast should be on your watch list. Yeah, just keep an eye. Let's do one more. Zotefoams today announced an acquisition. So they are a world leader in supercritical fluid foam technology, delivering optimal material solutions for the benefit of society. Well, thank you for that. At 375 a share, in fact, where are they? Yeah, sorry. 375 a share. The 182 million market cap, 206 million enterprise value. Because they've got a bit of debt. In fact, I assume in this announcement day, they said from they're paying from existing cash resources, which I assume that means increasing their debt because they did have at the 30th of June, half this H1 results, they had 21 million of net debt. And they're paying, let's have a look, I'm sure. So they're paying upfront cash of 27. So that's going to double their debt, isn't it? Plus deferment, 27.6 million euros, plus deferred element of up to 8.4. So they're paying 36 million euros for this company. But it is earnings accretive. It's called Overseas Constellation Company, a leading producer of high-quality technical foams, headquartered in Anglesola in Spain, for a total consideration of up to 36 million euros. This is off the back of a Q3 trading update. The group has sustained a positive trading momentum during this period, delivering a performance in line with board expectations. So they're upgraded on H1 results. For 25 now, expected to be... Now, the brokers have uplifted, obviously, figures due to this acquisition in 26, pretty much. But for 25, 154.8 million top line, up 5%. Net profit of 15.9 million, up 677%. That would be a PE ratio of 11, EV earnings of 13. I think that would go up, obviously, with increased debt. But for 26, double-digit top line, 192.4 million top line, that's 24% growth, and 20.4 million net profit, 28% growth. Put them on a PE of 9, and EV earnings a bit higher than that, 11, 12 maybe. But I think it's worth watching, Zotefoams. I think they're going to pay that debt down because it's getting a bit high there at the moment. But yeah, worth watching. ZTF is ticker. That's it. Thanks for listening. But say, I've just scratched the surface of these companies. If you want more information, by all means, go to sharepickers.com, join the club, get 40% off, £2.88 a week.
It's a no-brainer.
Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow.
Muchos. Appreciators.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.